Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nutama Shloka Vartanam Jushatam Tat Katamritam Syat Sambramo Antakale Api Smaratam Tat Patambujam Notama Shloka Vartanam Jushatam Tat Katamritam Syat Sambramonta Kalesmi Syat Sambramonta Smaratam Tat Patambujam Notama Shloka Vartanam Jushatam Tat Katamritam Syat Sabramunta Kalepi Smaratam Tat Patambujam Hare Krishna. To juice, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Na? Never. Uttama Shloka. The personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing. Vartanam. Of those who live on them. Jushatam. Of those who are engaged in. And Tat. His. Katha Amritam. Transcendental topics about him. Syat. It so happens. Sambrahmaha. Misconception. Anta. At the end. Kale. In time. Api. Also. Smaratam. Remembering. Tat. His. Pada Ambujam. Lotus feet. Okay, translation. Well, first I'll read the text 3 translation, because the first 3-4 couple words of this translation is "this was so." So, what was so? Let's read text 3. Okay. Furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas, Shukadev Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Godhead. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives. Purport. The highest perfection of life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life. This perfection of life is made possible by one who has learned the actual transcendental nature of the Lord from the Vedic hymns sung by a liberated soul like Shukadev Goswami, or someone in that line of disciplic succession. There is no gain in hearing the Vedic hymns from some mental speculator. When the same is heard from an actual self-realized soul and is properly understood by service and submission, everything becomes transparently clear. Thus, a submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of life. By scientific adaption, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of life, when the power of remembrance is slackened due to derangement of bodily membranes. For a common man, it is very difficult to remember things as they are at the time of death, but by the grace of the Lord and his bona fide devotees, the spiritual masters, one can get this opportunity without difficulty. And it was done in the case of Maharaj Pariksit. Okay. Om Ganatamindasya Gananjana Shalakoya Chaksho Unmilitamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Braya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminita Namane. Namaste Sarasvabhi Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivasesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Dishatarine Vancha Kapa Taribhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavimbhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama Noktama Shloka Vartanam Jushitam Tat Katam Ritam Syat Sambramon Dakalepi Smaritam Tat Putambujam. This was so because those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead, of whom the Vedic hymns sing, and who are constantly engaged in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives. Prabhupada explains somewhere else in a purport that that Srimad Bhagavatam should be studied in a spirit of renunciation. Because with this spirit, he can actually, that will actually have full effect on his heart, the spirit of renunciation. And when he hears the pastimes of Krishna, with this spirit of renunciation, Krishna will reveal himself. So, also elsewhere, Prabhupada explains that one has to be engaged in pure devotional service to understand Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. And in the same area that I'm talking about, it's in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains how Rupa Goswami condemns this attachment to materialistic friendship and so-called love and attachment to materialistic society. And he says that if one wants to see Radha and Krishna face to face, he should become detached from these material entanglements. But then he explains that unfortunately people in general are making elaborate arrangements to further entangle themselves in these material complexities. And Rupa Goswami gives that beautiful poetic expression where he says that if you want to still get pleasure out of materialistic society, friendship, and love, then don't go to the bank of the Yamuna where Krishna is standing in his threefold bending form playing on his flute, because you'll be so enchanted you won't want to go back to your materialistic way of life. So in the third verse in the chapter that we're reading, it's explaining how Maharaj Parikshit, furthermore, after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas. So this, in most devotees' lives, when they begin to come to Krishna consciousness, they also have to make a radical decision. Just like Maharaj Parikshit, he gave up everything, gave up his kingdom, and he left all his associates forever, never expecting to go back to them again, and to prepare himself to go back to Godhead. And thus, the king surrendered himself as a disciple to the son of Vyas. So he was, more or less, we're reading the junction where he's turning a new chapter in his life. He finished one chapter completely, and he flips the page, and that those past chapters he'll never see again, and he'll continue in his life, his progress, to ultimately open up the doors to eternal life. So in the same way, I remember when I first came here, obviously, I still have many attachments, but even more than now. And I remember I had big dreadlocks and hair and so many attachments I had. But I remember devotees were telling me the first sannyasi I've actually heard give class was Navi Yogendra Swami. And I was sitting probably where Bhakta Brad is sitting now and listening very attentively. And then he seems like he was giving me a lot of mercy because he saw that I was brand new. So he kept looking at me as he was giving class. And after the class, he called me over and he asked me, "So, are you serious? Do you really want to become pure?" And I said, "I think I'm serious. I think I want to be pure. I mean, it sounds like a good idea." And he says, "Well, if you want to be pure, then shave your head. And how many rounds are you chanting?" I think I was at that time chanting about like 10 or 12 at the most. He said, "Shave your head and chant 16 rounds." And then he gave me his garland. So I felt almost like it was like an order to do that. So I was contemplating that instruction. And So I decided, okay, I'm going to chop off these dreadlocks that I've had for many years, and I'm going to just do it. But it wasn't just a lot of people were can think like, so what's the big deal? It's just like hair. You know, it grows back. But it wasn't just the hair. It was, if I did that, I had the mentality that this is what I'm going to do with my life. There's no going back. I'm not going to look back to the material world. Once I do this, that means I'm completely committed. So it was a mental struggle within my mind. And finally, I think I even asked Maharaj, because I thought it was like an honorable thing. I said, I'll do it only if you shave my head for me. And I didn't know the etiquette, so I thought, anyways. But now I know not to do something like that. But anyways, so someone shaved my head for me. And afterwards, I actually like cried for like an hour. And it was like I was fighting with my false ego. But anyways, Maharaj Parikshit here, he may not be formally taking sannyas, but he has that consciousness, that mentality. Sannyas is a form of consciousness. It's not just an external formality of giving up everything and dedicating his life to Krishna. And in this fourth verse that we're reading here, describes how one of the names for Krishna is Uttama Shloka. And Uttama actually means like transcendental or pure. And shloka is like topics or transcendental verse or topics about Krishna. So the translation Uttama Shloka would literally mean something like a transcendental vibration or a transcendental topic. But Prabhupada explains that that's actually a name for Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So I was also thinking like I was blessed with the name Ananda Kirtan Das. I was blessed by the Parampara, by their mercy, to receive such a wonderful name. And I was thinking how it's almost similar to Uttama Shloka. Ananda Kirtan can also be Krishna's name. It could be those personalities whose names are blissfully chanted. Ananda Kirtan. We blissfully chant Gauranitai's names and Radha and Krishna's names. So he says, Uttama Shloka, the personality of Godhead, Vartanam, which translates of those who live on them. Those who live on what? Those who live on the topics of Krishna. Krishna consciousness. And that's the word for word translation, but in the full translation, Prabhupada says, translates it as those who have dedicated their lives to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead. And then he says, Jushatam tat katam ritam. So Jushatam is of those who are engaged in what? Katha Amritam. Hearing the transcendental topics about Krishna. And Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayantamam Yatantascha Dridavrataha, that those who are constantly engaged in serving me with determination and hearing about my glories constantly, they become great souls. Those are true Mahatmas. So, those who live Vartanam on the Uttama Shloka, hearing the topics of the personality of Godhead, Jushitam Katamritam, those who are engaged in the transcendental topics about him, become great souls, become Mahatmas. Anyone who is doing that is considered to be in a transcendental position. Just like Prabhupada many times says that we shouldn't try to see God with our eyes, but we should hear God with our ears. And one meaning I got from that is that verse, Sarva Padi Vanir Muktam. Well, a couple of things I thought about that. First of all, we shouldn't try with our own endeavor to see Krishna, to realize Krishna. It comes by grace from hearing from the pure devotee. And another meaning I got was, yeah, Sarva Padi Vanir Muktam Tat Paravena Nirmalam Hrishikesha Hrishikesham Sevanam Bhakti Uchite, that by engaging namely the tongue in hearing and the or in chanting and the ears in hearing, then the whole consciousness, all the senses become purified, and one is able to understand Krishna as he really is. The basic idea is that matter cannot penetrate transcendence. So if we're relying on our material senses, even our intelligence and our mind, we cannot understand that which is beyond matter. So this is a gradual process to elevate one to actually interacting and seeing Krishna face to face. Many times Prabhupada says that you can see Krishna face to face, that if you actually have faith in the deity form, the deity can talk to you if you're sufficiently purified, and you can actually interact with the inhabitants of the spiritual world. Many times throughout Prabhupada's teachings he says that. And it's very logical, if we think about it, to interact with Krishna face to face. Sometimes it seems like such a far out idea, and comparing where we are and our state of consciousness, to actually interact and shake hands and talk and hug, and the inhabitants of the spiritual world, even Krishna himself. But if you think about it in the sense that we are originally residents of that place, just like if you committed a crime and the judge gave you a jail sentence, and say for 10 years you were in prison, you can have full confidence that if you just stay alive in that prison and you don't commit further offenses and crimes, that when that date comes, you will have a life full of freedom. You'll get out of jail. You'll be able to go home with your family and friends and hug them and meet them again. So in the same way, if we just stay alive in our Krishna consciousness and don't commit further offenses, then that is a guaranteed experience to look forward to, interacting with Krishna face to face. So the first sentence of this purport, Prabhupada's explaining that the highest perfection of life is attained by remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life. And Krishna also says this throughout the Bhagavad Gita in many places. Whatever you remember at the time of death, if you remember Krishna, for sure you will go back to him without a doubt. And when one engages in hearing and chanting, then the lilas of the Lord, then smaranam becomes more prevalent. He'll be, obviously, you can't remember something that you've never heard. So the more you hear, the more you'll remember Krishna and his pastimes. And up to the point that when that hearing becomes more and more intense, he will gradually develop a desire to want to participate in the leelas of the Lord. And there's actually a book that not many people know of, because it's not a BBT book, but it's actually one of Prabhupada's books. It's called In Search of the Ultimate Goal of Life. And I highly recommend reading it. It's amazing. And it was, what happened was, when Prabhupada was performing his pastimes of about to leave this material world, one of his disciples found some paper with a bunch of writing on it in one of Prabhupada's like box, and he just curiously looked at it, and it was actually like a manuscript of a book that Prabhupada wrote but never printed for some reason, or was kind of like forgotten about, seemed like, to him. And he says most likely it was one of the first books he wrote after he took sannyas in 1959. And Prabhupada explains here this topic of remembering the transcendental nature of the Lord at the last moment of one's life, and actually having hope to attain an eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And this verse isn't written in chapters. It's written in like different topics. Like there's no chapter 1, chapter 2. But this topic here, he names changing the body. So I'll just read this real quick. It's just a few paragraphs, and it's very important and very encouraging. Okay? Actually, I'll read the last one too. Okay. So he gives the example of following in the footsteps of the great souls, the residents of Vrindavan. And he explains how even the sadhakas, someone who is engaged still in the stage of bondage, can take the example of perfected souls, sadhana siddhas, who actually achieve the goal of going back to Vrindavan and attaining an eternal relationship with Krishna. And he mentions the Shrutis, or the personified Vedas, actually attain this state. He says the Shrutis, who obtain the transcendental service of Godhead by following in the footsteps of the gopis, are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there's the verse, and the translation of the verse is, the enemies of the personality of Godhead, who remembered him constantly with an inimical feeling, entered into the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which is also obtained by the empiric philosophers and mystics by the process of controlling the mind and the senses, strictly by yoga practice and meditating upon the impersonal Brahman. But the cowherd girls, the damsels of Raj, were hypnotized by the poisonous beauty of the snake-like arms of Sri Krishna, and thus they obtained the nectar of his lotus feet. So the Shrutis are speaking here. He said, we have also followed the path of the cowherd girls and are thus drinking the nectarian juice of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada says that the purport of this verse is that the Shrutis followed the path of the gopis, and then when they reached perfection, they obtained bodies like those of the cowherd girls. After obtaining such transcendental bodies, they were able to enjoy the company of Sri Krishna in spiritual bliss. So this is the topic, changing the body. Advancement of material science in the field of medical surgery has made it possible to change the body of a human being from male to female, or from female to male by surgical operation. The desire to change the body in this way is a kind of mundane lust. This lusty desire or idea is a perverted reflection of the transcendental idea of changing the body, as in the case of the Shrutis. The idea of changing the body from one to another is quite possible even by the way of materialistic arrangements. Therefore, by spiritual development, the possibility of changing the body for the better is even greater. And then he also gives another Bhagavatam verse. It says, Sri Krishna, who is the son of Srimati Yashoda Devi, is more easily available to persons engaged in spontaneous devotional service than persons engaged in empiric philosophical speculations. One who therefore accepts the example set by the cowherd girls of Raj and always meditates upon the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna and day and night, while living in Raj and serving them, will ultimately obtain the body of a Manjari and directly serve Radha and Krishna. So that's a practical example of how someone in the sadhaka stage with intense desire to attain Krishna prema can actually attain a transcendental body in the spiritual world. And obvious... Okay, first of all, I'm going to read the next sentence real quick. So, this perfection of life is made possible by one who has learned the actual transcendental nature of the Lord from the Vedic hymns sung by the liberated souls like Shukadev Goswami in the line of disciplic succession. And then a submissive disciple is able to live transcendentally and continue to the end of his life in this way. So if one is under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and lives according to his instructions, he lives transcendentally. And what this means is that he's not affected by the outside illusory world. And Ramnath Swami, in one of his classes, gave the example of how sometimes he'll give programs in like homes in like Beverly Hills, like huge homes at rich people's houses, and they'll have like dogs. And he says that the dogs are treated like better than kings. Like they have their own bed and everything. And they're like nicely groomed and they're like really spoiled. But then he says like sometimes when he goes to India, he sees street dogs that don't have food, that they like have scars on their body from getting in fights with other street dogs. They're always timid, they're always scared, and they don't have any shelter. And he was explaining that just because the master is giving shelter to one particular dog, that dog is living comfortably, whereas the other dogs don't have shelter. So if we are living by the instruction of the spiritual master, we are given shelter and are assured of a happier way of life, both in this world and in the next. And Prabhupada goes on to say that by scientific adaption, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of life. Adaptation. What did I say? Adaptation. Oh, yeah. By scientific adaptation, one is able to remember the Lord even at the end of life, when the power of remembrance is slackened due to derangement of bodily membranes. For a common man, it's very difficult to remember things as they are at the time of death, but by the grace of the Lord and his bona fide devotees, the spiritual masters, one can get this opportunity without difficulty. So, the basic idea is that obviously we need to put in our effort to remember Krishna, but not even a single blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. So Krishna enters our mind if he's pleased by our service. And that's actually how we can remember Krishna. It's not like a mechanical thing. But Prabhupada does explain in the Nectar of Instruction that there are different levels of remembrance. From hearing and chanting, his remembrance will become more and more intense. And as well as one remembrance will follow by hearing and chanting a devotional service. Okay, yeah, the basic idea is that the first two limbs of bhakti are considered the most powerful, this hearing and chanting. But Prabhupada says that when one hears from an actually self-realized soul with proper service and submission, everything becomes transparently clear. So it's not with our own power that we become pure devotees, but these two main ingredients is service and submission. Just like in the verse, Maharaj Parikshit is hearing the Vedic hymns, and thus he's remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. But the first ingredient, the translation says, is dedicated his life to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead. So that's the main ingredient, is dedication. Dedicating your life to hearing the topics of Krishna and dedicating your life to those persons who are giving us the topics of Krishna. That's the main thing. It's through revelation, it's through grace that one actually makes advancement. And the example that I gave earlier, that if one is in a prison, so if one who is outside of the prison has a key to get out, and he says that if you just do these things and you remain humble and submissive and you do this service, then I guarantee that not only will I unlock the door for you to get out, but I have prepared a nice place for you to live also when you get out into the real world. So similarly, Prabhupada is giving us the key to get out of the material world, and is preparing a place for us in the spiritual world for those who remain with him as humble servants. And although there's the normal process of hearing and chanting and intensely desiring to attain Krishna's mercy, but there also seems to be some concessions. You know, if the spiritual master is a resident of Vrindavan and is giving you an opportunity to come to Vrindavan if you just please him, sometimes the standard process of becoming a sadhana siddha is not put into the background, but there's a concession that if you just do this, you don't have to go through all this whole process. But if you just please me, then I've got the key. So in the same way, there's many examples of this. I was telling Vijay last night that Vijay Prabhu, that Prabhupada, one time, Tamal Krishna Goswami was, when he was in India, he was managing and opening temples for Prabhupada and doing so much management that it occupied all of his time. And he didn't have proper time for his own sadhana. So he actually went to Prabhupada and he said something like, you know, what's the hope? I'm working all day long. I can't remember Krishna. My japa is like really lousy because I'm like so stressed out about all this management stuff. And Prabhupada explains to him, basically told him to stop being selfish. He said, for so many lifetimes you've been thinking about yourself and what would be best for you. But this one lifetime you just dedicate to the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And I guarantee that at the end of life, Lord Chaitanya will personally come and take you back to Godhead. And there's also a statement where Prabhupada says, anyone who helps build the TOVP, but I heard this last night, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally at the end of life come and take you back home to Goloka Vrindavan. And also, there's one letter to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Prabhupada was saying that if you preach that life comes from life and defeat the atheists, then I guarantee you will realize your eternal Swarup and Vraj. Those were his exact words. So it seems like pleasing the pure devotee guarantees one even more than his own effort to enter into the spiritual world. There's a book called Chaitanya Chandramrita, and that was written by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. And he is actually the uncle of Gopalabhatta Goswami. And Prabhupada explains in one of the purports of Chaitanya Charitamrita that he's Tunga Vidya, one of the Ashtasakhis in the spiritual world. And so Tunga Vidya is coming to this world and wrote a book about Lord Chaitanya. And he said that to the degree that you work for the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to that degree you gain qualification to serve Srimati Radharani's lotus feet in the land of Vrindavan. So, that's the basic idea, is pleasing the pure devotees. And although it seems like these concessions are there, but still throughout Prabhupada's teachings, he encourages us to make our own endeavor to really try to become pure. And just like Maharaj Parikshit, you know, he was completely fixed and determined, you know, fasted and without sleep for 7 days to reach perfection. So Prabhupada gives the ideal sadhana siddha, nectar of devotion. He mentions Bilva Mangala Thakur. And this is an example that we can all gain inspiration from. Because, at least for myself and many devotees that I know, they all had a past. They weren't always devotees. You know, there's that saying that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So, Bilva Mangala Thakur, the same thing. He was attracted to mundane sex life. But because of hearing about Krishna and with determination, and he cut off that attachment. Actually, what happened was his spiritual master, he felt, talked through the prostitute that he was attached to and told him to become attached to Krishna instead. So upon hearing that, he took that instruction seriously and he basically like took sannyas, and I think he was on his way to Vrindavan, if I'm not mistaken. And again, he fell into illusion. He came to a house of a brahmana, and the brahmana was greeted him nicely. And the brahmana asked, and the brahmana had a beautiful wife. And brahmana said, what can I do for you, Maharaj? Is there anything I could do? And he says, all I want is to be alone with your wife. And he fell into illusion again. But the brahmana was very humble and said, whatever you want. And so he arranged for them to go into a room alone together. But Bilva Mangala Thakur came to his senses again. And he said, man, my rascal mind, my uncontrolled senses. All I want is Krishna, but, you know, Maya keeps captivating me. So the wife says, so what can I do to please you? And that's when Bilva Mangala Thakur asks, all I want is a needle. And that's when he plucked out his eyes so that he wouldn't be able to see the material forms in this material world again, so he wouldn't become attracted. That's a very intense example. Obviously, we don't want anybody to pluck out their eyes here. So, but that's that we should follow in the footsteps. You know, he is obviously a Bhajana Nandi. We are Goshta Nandis. We need our eyes to see. We need our limbs to move around and do service for Krishna. But upon plucking out his eyes and going to Vrindavan and being intense in his bhajan, he was actually able to enter into the leelas of the Lord. And he wrote a beautiful book, Krishna Karanamrita, where it's describing Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And so this is an example of someone who was in bondage, but took the process so seriously that he attained perfection, and he was seeing Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada actually gives a very nice example of how we can practice becoming intense. And I'm going to read it really quick. It's from the Nectar of Devotion. One second here. Okay, so basically he's describing that by taking the regulative devotional service seriously, the process that we're given, that intensity will gradually awaken. But he says that a devotee in the course of executing the regulative principles of devotional service develops his natural Krishna consciousness, and thus his heart becomes softened, and he starts chanting and dancing like a complete madman. This is what Prabhupada says. So while performing chanting of the holy name, the devotee will sometimes cry, sometimes talk wildly, sometimes sing, and sometimes, without caring for any outsiders, dance like a complete madman. And Prabhupada's actually telling us that we should, even though this intensity may not be there yet, or we may not have Krishna Prema, we should know that this is the goal. And we should strive for that. And everything we do should be based on the fact that we want Krishna's mercy. We want Krishna Prema. When we chant, we're crying out for Krishna Prema. When we're doing service, we're serving with the mentality that, please, Krishna, give me Krishna Prema. I just want to love you. I want to know my eternal Sarup in the spiritual world. And that should be our mentality always. And Prabhupada says, with this mentality, one is always mentally living in Vrindavan. And there's a little thing I found here. It's called Vrindavan Meditations, and I found it in the library, in the Brahmachari Ashram. And it's every day, like a calendar day, and you flip the day, and it's a meditation on Vrindavan. One of them, Prabhupada is saying that when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, everyone in Vrindavan fell dead out of separation from him. So similarly, we can always live in Vrindavan if we become mad for Krishna. And this madness arises from hearing about Krishna, just like Maharaj Parikshit is doing. And Prabhupada, in the next purport, gives the example of a really fired up Brahmacharini. There's this Mataji, Chandra Kanti. Prabhupada says she was a celebrated fair-faced girl, and she rigidly observed celibacy in order to obtain Krishna as her husband. She was always engaged... She always engaged herself in meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord, and she did not desire anyone else as a husband except for Krishna. So, yeah, that's the essence of our philosophy. There is one thing I want to say before we go, though. It's getting late. I was hearing last night, Prabhupada wrote a letter to one of his disciples about traveling Sankirtan. And he was saying that even Lord Chaitanya did traveling Sankirtan. He traveled throughout India and preached the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada was saying that Mahaprabhu presented himself as a merchant selling the transcendental commodity of Krishna Prema. And what was the price? He said the price was eagerness from the people. He was giving out freely Krishna Prema just for the price of eagerness from the people. And we are taught throughout Prabhupada's books to become completely dependent on the mercy of Gaura Nithai, Lord Nityananda's mercy. And in the same book, Prabhupada's explaining that one cannot understand or enter Vrindavan without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Nityananda is so merciful. Prabhupada explains that we cannot understand the mercy of Nityananda. It's like boundless. And he engages anyone and everyone in the topmost service of Sankirtan. Just like one time we were doing Harinam in Santa Monica, and we were on promenade, and there was this drunk guy, probably remember, there was a drunk guy with a beer in his hand, and he came, and he was like dancing with us for like a long time, just hanging out with us, dancing. And then we decided to walk to the pier, and he walked with us to the pier, dancing with beer in his hand. He had like a whole backpack of beer. And then so he came to the pier with us, and he was dancing, and then he was chanting, and then he spontaneously just grabbed books out of the box that we were distributing books also. He also grabbed books, and he was had a beer in one hand, and with the other hand was distributing books. It was like amazing. And then one of his friends came, and same thing. Fran had a beer in his hand, was dancing, taking magazines and giving magazines to people. It was like really, I almost thought like maybe I should, that's like not a good like image for us. Maybe I should stop them from giving out magazines. But then I was thinking like, but this opportunity, they're distributing books. I mean, they're getting a lot of mercy. So I just kind of let that happen. And the other day, actually yesterday, we were distributing books at Cerritos College, and some kid came up to me. He said, I'm actually starting to get into this whole spiritual thing. And then he asked me, have you ever heard of some guy named Prabhupada? And I grabbed the book and I flipped it around. I said, yeah, that's Prabhupada. And he was like so amazed that these were all Prabhupada's books that we were distributing. And just like a week ago, we were going to make a turn. We were in the van. We were at a stop sign. We were about to make a turn out of like this grocery store parking lot. And there was like this really dirty, like older homeless guy. And I was thinking, like I had a small book right next to me. I was thinking about just giving it to him. And then I like my mind hesitated. And I'll just drive away. But then I was thinking, why not? You know, this might be his only opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. So I called him over. I gave him the book. And then he was actually became like very humble and like started offering pranams. And then he was like, to learn this, don't you think I need guidance from a spiritual master? And then I said, the spiritual master you can come in contact with the spiritual master of the universe just by reading this book and applying it to your life. And he walked away just like looking at a picture of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's nectar of instruction that I gave him. So it's the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? I think it's getting late, but if there's one or two questions. Sorry for my offenses. Hare Krishna. Okay. All glories to Prabhupada.